As John Fung used to say, the breath is the basis of our skill here. Concentration of the breath is the safest of all the concentration practices. It's the one where you can see most clearly the stages of jhana as you get the mind to settle down. You can see the different kinds of fabrication, bodily, verbal, mental. Bodily being the breath itself. Verbal being directed thought and evaluation, the way you talk to yourself. Mental being perceptions, the images and words you use to give meaning to things, identify them. And feelings of pleasure, pain, neither pleasure nor pain. Those are all easiest to see as you're focused on the breath. You're bringing knowledge to an area where usually there's a lot of ignorance. And it's an area that's very important. It's how we shape our experience. So a lot of reasons why, you know, John Lee's phrase, the breath is our home base. But as he also says, you don't stay at home all the time. There are times you have to forage around. And it's good to know other meditation methods as well. For some people, it's hard to focus on the breath, at least at the beginning. They have to do something else to get the mind to settle down, think thoughts of goodwill, put the mind in a good, nice, warm state. Then the breath flows more easily. Sometimes you have to deal with thoughts of lust, which is why we have the contemplation of the body, or as the Buddha says, the contemplation of the unattractive. It's good to realize it's not just the body that's unattractive. Here again, John Lee points out, there are a lot of mind states that are also unattractive. Pride, lust, as we think about body. And what's attractive about the body? What's attractive about getting involved in somebody else physically? We have to see that's pretty stupid. That's the John Sowat's translation for avijja. It's not just ignorance, stupidity. So it's not just the body that we're going to be talking about. We're talking about the aspects of the mind states that want to make it attractive. Because after all, it's pretty easy to see its unattractiveness. Everything comes out of the body smelly. I know one woman who complained that her children came out of the body. There's nothing smelly about her children. Well, at the moment they came out, the smell was really strong. And they were not at all clean. They had to be cleaned. And if you could imagine the body going apart, taking just the skin off the outside, you'd run away. Or taking the parts individually, one by one. Put them on the floor, still all covered with blood. Again, you couldn't stand to be around them. The sight, the smell, would just be too much to take. And we can develop all these fantasies around getting attracted to somebody else, getting them attracted to us. So you have to ask yourself, why? What's it all about? There's a lot of self-delusion in lust. A lot of people think that when they're lustful, they're attractive. But they like to think they're pretty clever. I think I've told you the story about the time when I was teaching in Indiana at a university there. A friend of mine who was a professor of comparative religion had me come and talk to one of his classes. He told me afterwards that the class discussed what it was like to talk to a Buddhist monk. This one young woman was sat in the front of the room. Very attractive. Said she was surprised how intelligent this monk was, because she had always assumed that monks were subhuman. The idea being that they were just too dumb to be successful at their lust. So what is this pride that goes along with lust? The self-image that you're attractive enough to make somebody else feel attracted to you. And there are other things that go on in fantasies of this sort as well. Sometimes lust is bound up in thoughts of revenge. You fantasize about getting somebody who's treated you poorly. There's a lot of stupidity going on in lust. And you want to see it as stupid. That way when thoughts come in like that, you're more likely not to fall for them. That's the whole point. You're falling for your defilements. Or in a John Munn's phrase, you're their laughingstock. All they have to do is paint a little picture, and you go running after them. And then they deny you what you want. Even if you get what you think you want, it's not going to satisfy you. So why go for it? Why aggravate these thoughts? You're going to dig deeper and deeper. So it's not just the unattractiveness of the body. That's important, because the more clearly you have a strong sense of the unattractiveness of the body, the more easier it is to see how stupid these other thoughts are. Getting all worked up over what? A liver? Intestines? The contents of the intestines? The eyeballs? It's just not worth it. You can see how ridiculous it is. Then it's a lot easier to put it aside. So this tendency we have to resist contemplation of the body, thinking that the Buddha is basically bad-mouthing something that's perfectly okay. Well, the body, of course, is okay, but often what we want to make out of it is the wrong thing. Remember, there's unhealthy negative body image, there's healthy negative body image, unhealthy positive image, healthy positive image. And you want to get rid of both sides of the unhealthy. Unhealthy negative image is when you see that your body is ugly, but other people's bodies are beautiful. And you feel that it lessens you. Positive negative body image is you realize we're all in the same boat here. You took out our livers, we took out our intestines. There'd be no point in having a contest. We're all equal in this way. And that helps to cut through the lust, the pride, all the other unhealthy emotions that go around lust. As for unhealthy positive image, you see that you're beautiful, you're good-looking, gives you special rights over other people. The world treats you better, and you feel that you deserve to be treated better. That sets you up for a fall. There was a TV interview whose transcript I was reading one time between a French actress and a French actor. And the French actor was saying that ugly women are harder to seduce than good-looking women. They don't take you seriously. They know you're being ridiculous. Whereas if you think you're attractive and other people find you attractive, you're willing to fall for whatever they have to say. Any indication that they have that they find you attractive too. That's a dangerous positive image. A healthy positive image is that the body is useful for the practice. This is why we eat. This is why we contemplate food while we're eating. Not for the sake of beautification, not for the sake of putting on bulk, not just to play, but to keep the body going so that we can practice. So, because we want to focus on that aspect of the body, its usefulness in the practice, then we have to focus on its unattractive side to discourage the unattractive and stupid mind states we build up around it, both our bodies and other people's bodies. So include this kind of contemplation in your arsenal. It's going to be a necessary part of protecting yourself, whether you need it before you settle down with the breath, or once you've settled down the breath and you find the mind wandering away in the wrong direction. Have it ready. It's for your protection. It's for your true well-being. Sometimes people think that the Buddha is being a killjoy, denying the pleasures of the body. He doesn't deny the pleasures, he just says they're stupid compared with the happiness that can come when the mind is really trained. When you use the body in the right way to help you with your concentration, to help you with the practice of generosity and virtue. He's taking your happiness seriously. He's more concerned for your true happiness than you are. So learn from him. It'll be for your own good.